පාර්මේන්තු ස්ථානයක 27-2 යටතේ ප්‍රශ්න ගරු රවි කරුණානායක මහතා.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. I seek permission to raise this question understanding orders 27-2 from the Minister of Technology relating to matter of urgent national importance. In the recent months, Sri Lanka digital backbone, the very infrastructure that sustains governance, commerce and citizen services, has come under severe strain. The sudden collapse of the Lanka government cloud on the 14th of October 2025, which crippled 8 major institutions, including the Register of Companies, Department of Commerce and Police Clearance Systems, has exposed the alarming fragility of the nation's digital framework. This was not an isolated incident, but the culmination of a systematic neglect, technical decay and an institutional complacency. While the Sri Lanka Computer Emergency Readiness Team has described the disruption as an internal technical issue, the absence of transparency and accountability has only deepened the public anxiety and suspicion. Over the past 6 to 10 months, Sri Lanka has faced an unprecedented wave of cyber intrusions targeting banks, state agencies, financial intermediaries, etc., including, you know, people of repute like the BOI chairman Arjuna Herath was intercepted. These repeated attacks have shaken public confidence in country's ability to protect sensitive personal and financial data. Yet, instead of fortifying defences, there has been an alarming silence from the authorities. No comprehensive cyber audit, no national digital risk assessment, and no unified command structure for crisis response. The latest incident has revealed not just a technological failure, but a failure of governance and foresight. The Information and Communication Technology Agency and the Sri Lanka Computer Emergency Readiness Team, the two core institutions entrusted with safeguarding and maintaining the nation's digital ecosystem, now appears to be operating without synchronization or shared security protocol. Citizens deprived of essential digital services such as birth, marriage, death certificates or even revenue licenses have been forced to revert to manual process. A humiliating regression for a country that once aspired to be a digital hub of South Asia. The contradiction between ICTA's silence and the assertion has further eroded public trust, suggesting institutional disarray at the highest levels of digital administration. At stake is more than a temporary inconvenience, Honourable Speaker. It is sovereignty of the nation's data. The cloud infrastructure that hosts sensitive records of millions of citizens and thousands of state institutions is now under question. A breach or a compromise of this scale could have devastating implications for national security, financial integrity, and the international confidence in Sri Lanka's digital ecosystem. In an era where cyber warfare and digital espionage have become a new battlegrounds of statecraft, this episode must serve as a national wake-up call. Sri Lanka cannot afford to treat this as a transition technical glitch. It must recognize that in digital governance, infrastructure is now a strategic national asset, requiring the same vigilance, investment and oversight as physical borders or defense installations. Parliament, therefore, has an urgent duty to demand full accountability, ensure comprehensive forensic audit of Lanka government e-cloud, and establish a national cybersecurity command authority with powers to secure, monitor, defend all critical digital assets of the state. Honourable Speaker, accordingly, I wish to ask the Honourable Minister of Technology the following questions. I can understand the situation because this is something new that is happening, but I thought it was necessary, as he is a very technologically competent person, that this type of insight should be looked at in order to extract the correct situation, because we are going into a 100% digitalization journey. Question number one, Honourable Speaker. Can the Honourable Minister inform the House what specific technical or administrative failure led the collapse of Lanka government cloud on the 14th of October 2025, and whether any preliminary investigations or forensic audit has identified accountability with ICTA or its service providers? Two, will the Honourable Minister confirm whether the incident was purely an internal system failure, as stated by the Sri Lankan Computer Literacy Readiness Team or whether there is any evidence of external cyber intrusion or data compromise. 3. How many similar system breakdowns, service disruptions or cyber incidents have occurred in the key government digital platforms over the past 12 months, and what lessons or corrective measures have been instituted thereafter? Honourable Speaker, the reason I'm asking this is even in Committee of Public Finance, when he asked the central bank, are you ready for cryptocurrency, digital currency, then nobody less than the central bank governor came and said, no, that is not a problem for us. We have not looked at. This is not neither law nor against the law. So these type of things, when you ask in advance and we get an answer that is absolutely stupid, has become relevant today. So that's the same reason I'm asking you, Honourable Speaker, through you to the Minister, that these are futuristic problems that are being accounted today. So let's ensure that we get a proper answer in order to ensure that these type of things don't happen as a disaster into the future. 4. What was the total financial and economic loss to the nation as a result of digital infrastructure collapse, including disruption to e-revenue licenses, police clearances, certificates and other government revenue streams? 5. What is the government's fallback or disaster recovery mechanism in event of such system-wide digital failure? Does Sri Lanka maintain secure real-time backup facility, either onshore or offshore, to safeguard citizens and institutional data? 6. Can the Honourable Minister assure Parliament that all sensitive citizens and government data hosted on Lanka Government Cloud remains intact, uncompromised, and will government table a cybersecurity audit report before this House? Honourable Speaker, you know that a personal repute like the BOI Chairman Arjun Herath, he had his personal information on the social media, and this was a breach through the cybercrime. This happened in bank. I can name the bank because it has gone to Security Exchange and mentioned Cargill's bank, that there was an invasion into their privacy. So these are not matters that can be swept under the carpet. 6. Can the Honourable Minister assure Parliament that all sensitive citizen data hosted on Lanka Cloud remain intact and uncompromised? 7. What steps are being taken to restore public and international confidence in the security of Sri Lankan e-government systems, particularly given the increasing frequency of cyber attack on banks, public institutions, digital payment networks, and the last 6 to 10 months? Now the question arises, Honourable Speaker, sometimes going to digitalization, we might be paying taxes far more than what is required, because it has become holier than thou that when a thing comes in digitalized, that everything 100% correct. Now it is to the question whether it is the actual situation or not is being questioned. Now where does that go in? How do you have the audit trail on this? These are matters that I'm asking, not only as a normal citizen, but as a professional accountant who knows the danger of having fully digitalized without having backup trails. 8. Will the government consider the establishment of a legally empowered national cybersecurity command authority to coordinate, monitor, defend all national digital assets under a unified structure? 9. As Sri Lanka accelerates its transition towards full digital governance, which I fully appreciate, and the quicker we do that, it will be far more beneficial to the country, so there should be no retardation of that. But we must take necessary precautions to ensure that while doing so, that it doesn't affect, harm the people of this country or compromise the people of the country. What legislative policy and institutional safeguards are being introduced to prevent future cyber attacks or system collapses of this magnitude? Specifically, when all the government bring before Parliament a comprehensive Digital Transformation Act and Cyber Security Protection Law to ensure national preparedness and resilience. 10. Finally, what assurance can the Minister, Honourable Minister, give the people of Sri Lanka that such a collapse of nation's digital backbone will never reoccur and the government possesses the readiness, expertise and the resilience to withstand the future cyber threats of this magnitude? Honourable Speaker, yes. May I just add one more matter? This was something we have been trying from 2015 when I was Finance Minister, but the resistance from the government servants itself retards the success story. The Eastern European countries have managed to come forward to its successful story owing to the fact that they digitized the economy. And I know that Minister, Deputy Minister or State Minister is a very competent person.
Yes.
My question to you is to ensure while we jump in on the one side of becoming a digitized economy, that we must be fast-tracked with a proven ability that we won't suffer into the future. Thank you, Honourable Speaker.
Honourable Deputy Minister.
Honourable Speaker, let me correct Honourable Ravi Karunayake about the name of the institution. It's the Ministry of Digital Economy. And to answer the questions, question number one, the incident has been identified as a technical failure. One of the disks reached 100% utilization, which in turn caused a portion of Lanka government cloud to go offline. This is an automatic shutdown mechanism, to fail-safe mechanism to designed to protect system integrity and prevent potential data corruption. We have taken immediate steps to restore the services back online. Since last Saturday night, the services are online, and now the system is fully resolved all the issues that are available in the system, and the services have been online.
One hour is too long. So imagine a 7 days into 24 hours, which basically ensure, if it was a cyber attack that came in, then are you happy with the situation that exists, is my question. I'm doing this for the national security of everybody of this country.
Honorable Ravina Karunayake, the reason that it took 1 week is to ensure that the data is fully protected, there's no system issue in the data integrity, as well as the data will be restored fully without affecting any of the government services, because we understand those services are very critical to the government and it contains critical public information. So to ensure all those matters, it took some time because we want to do a full assessment before we executing any kind of proactive actions to restore the system. So that's why, and I'll continue with the answering. The second question, the answer is, yes, I confirm that the internal system, the failure was an internal system issue. And there's no evidence of any external cyber intrusion. And at no point during the incident was any security or integrity of the data is being compromised. And throughout the restoration process, we strictly adhered to the highest standards of data protection and system security. Thereby, no data loss has been reported, and also all the services currently up and running. And for the third question, for over the past 12 months, there had been no major or prolonged system outages impacting critical government digital platforms hosted at the Lanka government cloud. However, approximately about 2 months ago, a brief service disruption occurred due to an issue within one of the network components. And that issue was corrected, rectified within a couple of hours' time, and getting all the affected services back online. And at that time also, there wasn't any cybersecurity incidents, but the service restoration and the proper access to the service being restored within a couple of hours' time. And also, post that incident, ICTA initiated enhanced monitoring of the previously affected components, and we took those lessons learned as a mechanism to go for the new LGC 2.5 procurement, so that all the shortcomings of the current or legacy LGC will be addressed and will be available in the new LGC 2.5. Answer to question number four, in response to the system outage, all institutions temporarily reverted to manual processing of their services, and therefore they didn't face any kind of service delivery issue. And as of now, no precise estimations of the financial or economic impact to those institutions were given to ICT or Digital Economy Ministry.
answer. In our Asikura system, where the 21 government institutions are interconnected.
So you can get the clarification on the
No, honorable, he can give an answer because he is technical. My knowledge on technical is not as sound as his. So when you are Asikura interconnected, 21 government institutions, so one bank or a register of company is not connected, then the entire network breaks down. So the financial implication is not able to be computed in this manner. So when you say not possible, it's not correct. We are, if yeah. one institution goes into manual down,
Honorable Deputy
it doesn't
Minister,
have
you can proceed and you can.
Honorable MP, like Asikoda, those systems are running in a separate data centers. Therefore, those systems were unaffected. And I understand there were certain government services being affected. However, like since they fall back into manual processes, no service delivery being affected that was prolonged for 1 week. And therefore, like we don't have any information given by any of these institutions about any financial or economic impact at this moment. Answer to question number 5. In the current LGC platform, which is established in 2018, data backups were managed by the external entities, by the individual organization. Therefore, it didn't have a centralized backup system. And this is one of the main reasons for us to go for the new Lanka government cloud procurement, LGC 2.5, to have a centralized backup securely taken at a central location and also to have the geo-redundant system architecture so that the system ensures high availability, resilience, and disaster recovery readiness. It will be taken daily incremental backups, weekly full backups, and monthly backups, monthly full backups. And those backups will be maintained for 1 year period. Therefore, we will ensure that the system's data is protected 100%. And having due redundancy will ensure that it's not like there's not any critical single point of failure. There will be data replicated and backups will be maintained off-sites to address any sort of system downtimes. And also this new system will have real-time network monitoring and system monitoring tools enabling continuous oversight of infrastructure and backup of health of the backup systems. These tools will automatically trigger alerts in response to anomalies, performance degradations, or failures, allowing for rapid restoration of any incidents that is in the system to mitigate it fast. This level of proactive monitoring and the built-in redundancy is essential for government, and therefore we went to Lanka government LGC 2.5. Answer to question number 6. I can confirm that the data hosted at Lanka government cloud remained fully intact and uncompromised throughout the incident. The National Cybersecurity Operations Center, NCSOC, was actively monitoring several services running in the LGC during this period, and no cyber incidents were detected or reported. All monitoring logs confirm the absence of any unauthorized access or breach attempts, ensuring that both data security and system integrity were preserved at all times. Answer to question number 7. We acknowledge that incidents like this nature affects confidence. However, we have taken following initiatives which have been completed or ongoing and or are nearing completion will serve to establish a trust environment for more robust system than ever. Number 1 is implementation of cybersecurity policy, national policy, thereby getting all the system assessed through vulnerability assessment and penetration test and informing those institutions to rectify them. And also we have identified critical information infrastructure, CII, across key sectors such as finance, health, energy, public administration and so on, to ensure we give focus to those systems to prevent any kind of cybersecurity attacks and to be resilient on them. We have established a month ago National Cybersecurity Operations Center in September last month, This will centrally monitor all these CSI, critical information infrastructure, 24/7, and that monitoring will ensure there's no any external cyber attacks coming to those systems. And this centralized monitoring will enable us to respond to any such breach attempts much proactively and in the real-time fashion. Then we are going to enhance that NCSOC with AI-powered threat detection to have malware and threat hunting software to enabling predictive detection of evolving cyber threats and early prevention of capabilities to safeguard national digital infrastructure. Also, we are drafting a new cybersecurity law to establish cybersecurity regulatory authority, which will be empowered with both regulatory oversight and enforce authority across critical public infrastructure and the private infrastructure to ensure those infrastructure are uphold all the security standards. Then we are going to sign the International Cybercrime UN Convention document to strengthen cross-border collaboration on cybercrime investigation, secure evidence sharing, and legal cooperation. This is a strategic step to bolster global trust in security of Sri Lanka's e-government systems. Lastly, a collaboration mechanism has been initiated by the Ministry of Digital Economy, Sri Lanka CERT, and TRCSL in partnership with CBSL and all licensed banks to proactively counter cyber threats, proactively phishing, particularly phishing and digital fraud targeting the financial systems. Answer to question number 8, yes, the cabinet process to initiate a comprehensive cybersecurity law is currently underway to address this critical requirement that will establish the cybersecurity regulatory authority, as I mentioned before, to critically monitor all the critical digital public infrastructure of the government. And also, we are going to establish the National Cybersecurity Operations Center currently to monitor 37 key government institutions initially, and currently 4 institutions are being already connected, as well as another 6 are in the process of integration. Answer to question number 9. For question number 7 and 8, I provided details about the cybersecurity measures that has been taken. Other than that, I want to highlight that digital economy blueprint that's been outlined, Sri Lanka's strategic roadmap of digital infrastructure is anchored in a layered architecture comprising core digital infrastructure, digital public infrastructure, and a suite of platforms and applications that deliver services to citizens and businesses. The entire systems are in various layers, and each layer we will ensure that the trust, governance framework, and the cybersecurity measures are being implemented to protect data and the systems and the accountability of each and every layer of those systems. And also, the cabinet has directed the initiation of legislative processes to establish 2 critical institutions. One is the Digital Economy Authority, DEA, to drive and govern the digital economy agenda. And also the second institution is the Cybersecurity Regulatory Authority, CSRA, to enforce the implementation of security in all the government digital platforms. Answer to question number 10, the final one. The government is taking comprehensive steps to ensure that such a disruption does not reoccur, strengthening both technical infrastructure and the government's governance systems that underpin national digital services. ICT is currently in the process of migrating workloads to the new LGC, LGC 2.5, from the legacy system, so that we will not have the reliance on the old one, which the new one will have all the geographic redundancy and the centralized backup systems and so on. And this utilization has brought down to 88% or below, And also, as and when the workloads are migrated to the new LGC, those will be removed from the current or the legacy one to free up more spaces. And the National Cybersecurity Operations Center, NCSOC, will 24/7 monitor the new LGC, LGC 2.5, and also the SLT data center NOC, Network Operations Center, will monitor this new system 24/7 to ensure it maintains all the KPIs around the clock on the integrity and performance. Additionally, government is preparing to establish a second cloud platforms, and we are hoping to initiate the tendering process towards the end of the year. And this multi-cloud strategy will enable government to not rely on a single cloud platform, but the data will be replicated in multi-cloud environment so that the availability, resilience, and the security of data will be upheld at the highest standard. So that concludes my answer.
Yeah, you can.
Honourable Speaker, I appreciate the professional answer that has been given. Your technical knowledge is far superior to me. So my questioning is more from a practical purpose. When even Bill Gates' personal account was hacked by a 21-year-old Asian, I guess we have got to be ultra precautionary acts that needs to be taken. White collar crimes are becoming something more realistic than something to be avoided. And as a result, digital frauds are, you know, you don't know when it would basically come in. You know, the Bangladesh Central Bank and the banks were hacked. Philippines had the same one 4 years ago. So on that particular one, there is a necessity. There is a necessity to ensure that we have got to be ultra safe when you're going to digitize it. Now, when we are looking at the area of, you say no revenue erosion has taken place, my mind goes to register a company, Department of Commerce and police clearances. Now, that is on the ASIKUDA. So when they come in and check whether the company is registered or not, then if it basically has broke down, there is no competency factor for the customs to see that it is working or not. So you would not be able to calculate that there has been a revenue loss or not. So I leave it to your judgment. The next one that basically I need to check out is on the cyber authority thing. This is also something that needs to be done because we are looking at cybercrime costs Sri Lanka up to $1 billion a year, says ADB professional in Sri Lanka. $1 billion a year. I mean, when we are talking of our total revenues being, you know, $78 billion GDP, and the government revenues only as export value only $20 billion, this is 5% of it. So it's not something that you can ignore about. And you have gone on record saying we want to have this digital governance in order to ensure that we try to capture the market here. And international players such as Meet and all are trying
Honourable
to
member,
restore
can you
their
get the
confidence
here. The answer given, please.
I know,
we have taken
not
2 minutes
in
now.
An easy manner
yes.
That we can ask. So
member,
all I want
yes.
to know is if you are trying to restore confidence here, please ensure that there is systems backup as well as cloud protection, not in this country, outside as well. We have one area of erosion, and that will ruin the entire $20 billion the digitalized economy that you are trying to build in 5 years. Thank you,
yes,
Honourable.
Honourable Deputy Minister.
Honourable Harikarunayake, the financial crimes are mostly happening at the citizen level. We are citizens without much putting emphasis on the sharing, the PIN numbers and so on, they are currently doing. Therefore, the educational or the awareness programs are being carried out as well as planned by Central Bank, SLCERT, as well as the ministry itself, our ministry. And regarding the backups and the availability of the systems, we understand the importance, and thereby that's the main reason that we went ahead with the procurement of new LGC 2.5 with all these facilities, because the existing one, the legacy one, which was created in 2018, does not allow us to like have the real uptime availability for the government systems. And also, like I mentioned, the procurement and the process that we are going to procure a second cloud platform will enable for us to have the much broader resilience on the, all this digital public infrastructure, and therefore, like, we understand the importance, and we are taking steps, and also we are in the process of getting them executed. Thank you.
වරප්‍රසාද ප්‍රශ්න ගරු චාම්‍ර සම්පත් දසනායක මහතා.
ගරු කථානායකතුමා, මේකේ සුවිශේෂී කරුණු ටික විතරක් ඉදිරිපත් කරන නම් කොළ තුනක් තියෙනවා. ඒ නැත්තම් අර පැය ගණක් යයි ඒකට. ඒ නිසා
හරි.
ආණ්ඩුකම ගරු කථානායකතුමනි, ආණ්ඩුකම ව්‍යවස්ථා සභාවේ ප්‍රධාන විරුද්ධ පක්ෂය අනුබද්ධ නොවන කුඩා විරුද්ධ පක්ෂවල නියෝජිතවරයා ලෙස කටයුතු කරන පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රී ගරු සීදලන් මහතාගේ හැසිරීම හරහා පාර්ලිමේන්තු වරප්‍රසාද බලපත්‍රයේ උල්ලංඝනය වීමක් සහ පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රීවරුන් සඳහා වන චර්යා ධර්ම සංග්‍රහයේ උල්ලංඝනය වීමක්ද සිදු වී ඇති බව ඔබතුමාගේ අවධානයට යොමු කරවීම සඳහා මෙම ලිපිය ඉදිරිපත් කරමි. පාර්ලිමේන්තු බලතල හා වරප්‍රසාද පනත මගින් මෙම ආයතනයේ ගරුත්වය සහ ස්වාධීනත්වය පවත්වා ගැනීම සඳහා අවශ්‍ය පදනම සපයනු ලබයි. 29 වන වගන්තිය යටතේ පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ හෝ එහි කිසියම් මන්ත්‍රීවරයෙකු කාර්යය ඉටු කිරීම බාධා කරන එම අතර එම පැමිණිල්ලට අදාළ කනුළු විභාග වීම හා සොයාබැලීම වළක්වනු පිණිස එතුමා විසින් පුද්ගලික අභිලාෂයන් පෙරටු කරගත් ක්‍රියාමාර්ගයට අවතීර්ණ සිටි අල්ලස් කොමිසන් සභාවට අදාළ පත්කිරීම සිදු කරනු ලබන්නේද ආණ්ඩුකම ව්‍යවස්ථා සභාව විසින් වන අතර සීදරන් මහතා විසින් තමාට එරෙහිව අල්ලස් කොමිසන් සභාවේ පැමිණිල්ලක් ඉදිරිපත් වී ඇති යන අතර කරුණ ව්‍යවස්ථාදායක සභාව වෙත හෙළි කිරීමකින් තොරව එම සභාවෙන් සිදු කරන පත්වීම් සඳහා සිය ඡන්දය භාවිතා කරමින් සිටී. ආණ්ඩුකම ව්‍යවස්ථා සභාව පාර්ලිමේන්තු යටතේ පාලනය වන ආයතනයක් නොවන්නේ නමුදු එහිදී පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රීවරයා සඳහා වන චර්යා ධර්ම සංග්‍රහය එතුමා වෙත අදාළ වනුයේ එතුමා අදාළ සභා නියෝජනය කරනුයේද සුළු පක්ෂ නියෝජනය කරන පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රීවරයෙකු වෙත ලබා දෙන ව්‍යවස්ථාපිත ප්‍රතිපාදනය අනුවට වීම හේතුවනි. එබැවින් පෙරකී චර්යා ධර්ම සංග්‍රහය 7 වන වගන්තිය අනුව මන්ත්‍රීවරයා තීරණය කර ගැනීමේදී මහජනයාපත උදෙසා ක්‍රියා කළ යුතු අතර මූල්‍ය හෝ පුද්ගලික ප්‍රතිලාභ උදෙසා කටයුතු කිරීමෙන් වැළකී බාහිර බලපෑමෙන් තොරව වෙමින් පොදු රාජකාරෝ මුළුමනින්ම කුසලතා මත සිදුකොන්න බව සහතික කළ යුතු අතර ඒ බැඳී සිටින්නේ මහජන විමර්ශනය විවෘත විය යුතු යන අවශ්‍යතාවයට හා විවිධානයට පටහැනි අයුරින් එතුමා විසින් කටයුතු කරමින් පවතී. චර්යා ධර්ම සංග්‍රහයේ 9 වන වගන්තිය, චර්යා ධර්ම සංග්‍රහයේ 25 වන වගන්තිය මෙම ව්‍යවස්ථාපිත චර්යා පටහැනි ක්‍රියා කිරීමෙන් ගරු සීදන මහතා මාසා මාගේ පක්ෂයේ මන්ත්‍රීවරු පමණක් නොව ප්‍රධාන විරුද්ධ පක්ෂයේ අනුබද්ධ නොවන අනිකුත් විරුද්ධ පක්ෂ නියෝජනය කරන මන්ත්‍රීවරු විසින්ද ඔහු කෙරෙහි තබා තිබූ විශ්වාසය අහිමි කරගෙන ඇත. ඔහුගේ හැසිරීම විසින් ආණ්ඩුකම ව්‍යවස්ථා සභාවේ සමාජිකයෙකුට අවශ්‍ය විශ්වාසය අවංකභාවය සහ අපේක්ෂපත්‍ය දුර්ලභ කරනු ලැබී ඇති අතර ඒ මගින් පැහැදිලි ලෙස වරප්‍රසාද උල්ලංඝනය සහ චර්යා ධර්ම සංග්‍රහය උල්ලංඝනය කිරීම සිදු කර ඇත. ගරු කථානායකතුමනි, වරප්‍රසාද ප්‍රශ්නය වරප්‍රසාද කමිටුවට ඉදිරිපත් කිරීම සඳහා ඔබතුමා ඊයේ ප්‍රතික්ෂේප කළා. අද ඔබතුමාක් වන නිශ්චිතව අපිට ඉදිරිපත් කරන්න කියලා ඒ අනුව අපි ඉදිරිපත්
කළා. ඔබතුමා ඊයේ ඉදිරිපත් කරපු කාර්යාවලිය ලබා දුන්න එකේ අඩුපාඩුකම් තිබුණා, ඒකයි නැවත ලබා දුන්නේ. ඔබතුමා දැන් අද ඒ අදාළ නිශ්චිත කාරණාව සඳහන් කරලා තියෙනවා. ඒ අනුව ගරු චාමර සම්පත් දසනායක මහතා විසින් මතු කරන ලද මේ වරප්‍රසාද ප්‍රශ්නය තුළින් වරප්‍රසාද කඩවීම සිදුවී තිබේද යන්න ඒ පිළිබඳ අධ්‍යයනය කිරීමෙන් අනතුරු තීරණය කරනු ලබන බව දැන් සභාවට දැනීමට කැමැති. වරප්‍රසාද ගරු
අට ඔබතුමා මේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 28 ඊයටතේ තියෙනවා වරප්‍රසාද පිළිබඳ කාලා සම්බන්ධ යෝජනා. එතකොට ඒ තියෙන ගරු කථානායක 28 ස්ථාවර නියෝග අන් කිසිවක් නියම කර ඇත මිස මතු සදාන් යෝජනා සම්බන්ධ හැර ඉදිරිපත් කිරීම අදහස් කරන කවර හෝ යෝජනාව සම්බන්ධ දැනුම් දීමක් කරන ලැබිය යුත්තේ. ඒ කියන්නේ මේ කියන කාරණා හැර ඔබතුමාට කලින් යෝජනාවක් දැනුම් දුවක් දෙවිය යුතුයි. හැබැයි වරප්‍රසාද පිළිබඳ කාර්යයක් සම්බන්ධව දැනුම් දිය යුතු නැහැයි කියන කාරණේ තමයි මට හැගෙන්නේ මේ 28 ස්ථාවර නියෝගය අනුව මේ කියන්නේ ඈ ඊ කියන කාරණා සියල්ල. එතකොට ඊයේ මන්ත්‍රීතුමාට නැගිටලා ඒ වරප්‍රසාද ප්‍රශ්නේ යෝජනා කරන්න පුළුවන්. ඒ වරප්‍රසාද ප්‍රශ්නේ යෝජනා කළ හැකියාව තිබෙනවා. ඒ කියන්නේ ලිඛිතව දැනුම් දීමෙන් තොරව යෝජනා කිරීමට අවශ්‍ය කාරණා තමයි මේ කියන්නේ ස්ථාවර නියෝගය. ඉසගරු ලේකම්තුමාලා මං ඉතා ගෞරවයෙන් ඉල්ලීමක් කරනවා. ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමාලාගේ වරප්‍රසාද කඩ කරන විදියට නියෝග දෙන්න හදන්න එපා මුලසුරට. ඉසා ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමාට මේ මොහොතේ වෙලාව යාගේ වරප්‍රසාද කැල්ල තිබෙනවනම් මේ පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට දැනුම් දෙන්න පුළුවන්. ඒක ලිඛිතව දැනුම් දෙන කියන කාරණේ සඳහන් වෙන්නේ නැහැ ගරු කතානායකතුමනි. ඉසා මං හිතනවා මම ඊයේ දිනේ හිටියේ නැහැ චාමර සම්පත් මන්ත්‍රීතුමාට ඒ අවස්ථාව විඳලා මුලසුනේ අනීතිකව කටයුතු කිරීම පිළිබඳව අපි කනගාටු වෙනවා.
මන්ත්‍රීතුමා ඒක 118ත් එක්ක කියවන්න ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා. 118ත් එක්ක කියවන්න ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා. 118ත් එක්ක කියවන්න ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා. ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන්
දායසිරි
මන්ත්‍රීතුමාට ඒ ආකාරයෙන්ම තීරණය කරලා දැනුම් දීලා තියෙන ඊළඟට ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන්
මන්ත්‍රීවරු හැටියට ඒක අපිට
තිබෙනවා
ඒ අයිතිය කියලා
මේ වර ප්‍රසාදයක් තියෙනවද නැද්ද කියන පිළිමද ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා ප්‍රධාන වැඩ කටයුතු ආරම්භදී යෝජනා පාර්ලිමේන්තු සභානායකතුමා
කතානායකතුමනි පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ රැස්වීම අංක 1 පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 8හි විධිවිධානවල කුමක් සඳහන්ව තිබුණද අද දින රැස්වීම පැවැත්වෙන කාල වේලාව පූර්ව භාග 9:30 සිට අපර භාග 12:30 දක්වාද අපර භාග 1 සිට අපර භාග 5:30 දක්වාද විය යුතුය පූර්ව භාග 11:30ට පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 8-5 ක්‍රියාත්මක විය යුතුය අපර භාග 5:30ට කතානායකවරයා පාර්ලිමේන්තුව කල් තැබිය යුතුය
සභාව එකකද
ආයිස්
දරු පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ සභානායකතුමනි
දරු කතානායකතුමනි පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ වැඩ කටයුතු පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 75-4 විධිවිධාන ප්‍රකාරව 2025 නොවැම්බර් 8 සෙනසුරාදා 10 සඳුදා 11 අඟහරුවාදා 12 බදාදා 13 බ්‍රහස්පතින්දා සහ 14 සිකුරාදා විසර්ජන පනත් කෙටුම්පත් 2026 සලකා බැලීම සඳහා වෙන් කළ දිනයන් විය යුතුය
යෝජනාංක සභාව එකඟද
ආයිස්
යෝජනාංක 3 පාර්ලිමේන්තු සභානායකතුමා
කරු කතානායකතුමනි පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ රැස්වීම අංක 2 පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 75-2 විධිවිධාන ප්‍රකාරව 2025 නොවැම්බර් 8 සෙනසුරාදා 10 සඳුදා සිට 13 බ්‍රහස්පතින්දා දක්වා විසර්ජන පනත් කෙටුම්පත් 2026 සලකා බැලීම සඳහා වෙන් කළ දිනයන්හි රැස්වීම පැවැත්වෙන කාල වේලාව පූර්ව භාග 9:30 සිට අපර භාග 12:30 දක්වාද අපර භාග සහ අපර භාග 1 සිට අපර භාග 6:30 දක්වාද විය යුතුය අපර භාග 6ට පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 8-5 සහ 6 ඡේදවල විධිවිධාන ක්‍රියාත්මක විය යුතුය අපර භාග 6:30 කතානායකවරයා පාර්ලිමේන්තුව කල් තැබිය යුතුය
සභාව එකඟද
ආයිස්
යෝජනාංක 4
දරු කතානායකතුමනි පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ රැස්වීම අංක 3 පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 75-2 විධිවිධානවල කුමක් සඳහන්ව තිබුණද විසර්ජන පනත් කෙටුම්පත 2026 සලකා බැලීම සඳහා වෙන් කළ 2025 නොවැම්බර් 14 සිකුරාදා රැස්වීම පැවැත්වෙන කාල වේලාව පූර්ව භාග 9:30 සිට අපර භාග 12:30 දක්වාද අපර භාග 1:30 සිට අපර භාග 6 දක්වාද විය යුතුය අපර භාග 6ට කතානායකවරයා පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ කල් තැබිය යුතුය
සභාව එකඟද
ආයිස්
සභාව කල් ද්‍රවි කරනවා ඔබතුමාගේ
මේ ඇමතුමා ඉදිරිපත් කරපු එක සම්බන්ධයෙන් මේ කැබිනට් සංශෝධනයක් ඉදිරිපත් වෙලා තිබ්බා සුමානකට ඉස්සෙල්ලා ඊට පස්ව විසර්ජන පනත ඒ තිබ්බ පනත වෙනස් වෙනවා ඒක පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට නැවත ඉදිරිපත් කළ නැහැ. ඉතින් නොවැම්බර් මාසයේ 7 වෙනිදා ඉදිරිපත් කරන අයවැය ඒ විසර්ජන පනත පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට ඉදිරිපත් කරන්න අවශ්‍යයි. ඒකේ දවස් 30ක් අවශ්‍ය නැහැ. නමුත් වෙනස් වුණ හෙඩ්ස් යටතේ ඒ වෙනස් වෙලා තියෙන මූල්‍ය ප්‍රමාණය පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට දැනුවත් කරන්න අවශ්‍යයි. ඒක තාම කරලා නැහැ. ඉතින් ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන් දැන් මේ හෙට කරේ නැත්තම් එතකොට අපි නැවත හම් වෙන්නේ කවදද කියන එක නිශ්චිත නැති නිසායි ප්‍රශ්නේ අහන්නේ.
ගරු ආනුපක්ෂ ප්‍රධාන සංගතුම ගරු
මම හිතන්නේ ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා කියන කතාව හරි මොකද ඒක වෙනස් කරේ සබ්සිකුවන් ටු ද ටේබලින් අද ඔරිජිනල් අප්‍රෝප්‍රියේෂන් බිල් ඉතින් ඒ නිසා දැන් අද අපි මුදල් කමිටුවට ප්‍රොප්‍රේෂන් බිල් එක ගන්නවා. ඒ අවස්ථාවේදී අපිට පුළුවන් ඒක අද සම්මත කරගන්න ඒ ආකාරයට ගෙනාවොත්. මොකද එහෙම නැති වුණොත් අපිට වෙලාවක් නැති වෙන මුදල් කමිටු මේකට නැවතත් අරගෙන පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට සම්මත ඉදිරිපත් කරන කාරු ඇමතුමා.
ගරු ආණ්ඩුපක්ෂ ප්‍රධාන සංවිධායක
කතානායකතුමනි, අපි අදහස් විරුද්ධ පක්ෂයේ සංවිධායකතුමා.
විරුද්ධ පක්ෂයේ සංවිධායක ගායන්ත කරුණාකර මන්ත්‍රීතුමා.
කතානායකතුමනි, මේ පිළිබඳව අපි ලිඛිතවම සභානායකතුමාට දැනුම් දුන්නා. අපි වැඩසටහන ඔක්කොම සකස් කරලා තියෙන මේ වෙනස්කම් ටික ඉක්මනින් निराකරණය කරලා දෙන්න කියලා.
ගරු ආණ්ඩුපක්ෂයේ ප්‍රධාන මන්ත්‍රීතුමා.
ගරු කතානායකතුමා, ඒක ඩිබේට් එකට වඩා නෛතිකමය ප්‍රශ්නයක් වෙනවනේ. මොකද මාරු කරලා තියෙන හෙඩ්ස් වලට අදාළ වෙන විදිහට ඇලකේෂන් මාරු කරන්න සිද්ධ වෙනවා.
ගරු ආණ්ඩුපක්ෂ ප්‍රධාන සංවිධායකතුමනි,
කතානායකතුමනි, මේ සම්බන්ධයෙන් අපි සභානායක කාර්යාලය විසින් මුදල් අමාත්‍යංශයත් කැඳවලා සාකච්ඡාවක් පැවැත්වුණා. දෙකට විපක්ෂ සංවිධායකතුමා සහ අපි එක සම්බන්ධ වෙනවා. යනුව මේ ගැටළු निराකරණය කරගන්න පුළුවන්.